With me in the studio is Yemi Oyedarin, who has put together the first installment of a docu-series called Queen City Kings that's going to air at the Esquire Theater on Thursday, November 29th at 7 o'clock, and at the Kenwood Theater on Sunday, December 2nd at 2 o'clock. Afrosheen is the company that has put this together. Yemi, tell us about Afrosheen.
So Afrosheen is a production company that my best friend, J.P. Leong, and I started. And what we do is we tell stories in and around Cincinnati. And we have focused most of our production energy and creative energy on being able to combine the storytelling of people's voices in kind of documentary style interviews, as well as musical performances. So we kind of combine those two to kind of tell stories about Cincinnati in and around Cincinnati. And one thing we have at Afrosheen is a rule is that everything has to be created in the 275 Beltway. So we can't buy canned music outside of the city of Cincinnati. Everything has to be created in Cincinnati one way or another.
Which fits perfectly with Playhouse in the Park's production of Cincinnati King.
Yeah, Cincinnati King is this wonderful production that KJ Sanchez has put together that is a kind of storytelling of the King Records story from Philip Paul's perspective. For those who don't know, Philip Paul was the famed studio drummer at King who is still around. He's 93 years old and still playing around town and still telling the King story and keeping the legacy wonderfully alive.
And Cincinnati King will continue on stage at the Playhouse through December 23rd. Now, let's talk about this documentary that you put together. Well, it's part concert film, part documentary.
It is, yeah.
3 years ago, you started it?
Yeah, I started, I can't believe it's been that long, but yeah, started about 3 years ago working on putting the ensemble together and started working on arrangements and then slowly working on building the story over time.
So is it like a framework of the story, interjections of concert film?
Yeah. So we start with telling the King Records story. And at kind of appropriate times, you're hearing the King Records music in the background. We switch from the concert performance back to the documentary. It's almost as if you're watching a concert and also being told a story in the background that comes back and forth.
Who's telling the stories?
So the voices that we have telling the stories are some King people, such as Mr. Otis Williams. We also have some local celebrities like John Curley from the Afghan Whigs. We've got
Bootsy Collins.
Bootsy, we have not interviewed. Actually, we are scheduled to interview Bootsy later next month because a lot of his story is in the second installment.
And that will focus on James Brown?
That'll focus on Little Willie John, James Brown, and the soul, pretty much, Federal Records. And the soul music and blues, and then James Brown and that story. The part of James Brown that we're doing is we're calling it James Brown versus Sid Nathan.
Well, that's appropriate. So this first one is more of the country?
Yeah, it focuses on country and rock and roll and the early King years. So we talk a little bit about Queen, which was the first subsidiary label that Sid Nathan had started, which focused on black music. And King was primarily at that period of time focused mainly on bluegrass, which was then called hillbilly music. And so we're focusing on really those styles and the early styles of American music.
I see on the press release it says Alan Leeds, Christian McBride.
Yeah, Alan Leeds and Christian McBride are also some voices that sat down for interview. We were very lucky and fortunate to have them come into town, and they were willing to sit down and tell us some stories. We have some great Alan Leeds stories. Alan Leeds tells us a story about when James Brown had gotten sick once, and Bobby Bird had called Alan. Alan was freaking out and decides to pick up the phone and cancel the show. So, which means you have to, I mean, this is back years ago, so getting people on the phone on a Sunday was difficult. James Brown, eventually, he wakes up and he's on his way to the concert. And needless to say, Alan Leeds very quickly had to put this concert back together after canceling it. It's just a very telling moment of finding out that James Brown really was the hardest working man in show business. He did not take sick days. He worked day in and day out, and no matter what happened, he was ready to perform.
And Alan Leeds came into town for the King Records Gala that happened in August.
Yeah, the 25th of August, I believe. And he was in town for the gala for the 75th anniversary, which was this wonderful celebration of Lifetime Achievement Awards for Mr. Collins, Mr. Bootsy Collins, Mr. Philip Paul, and for Mr. Otis Williams. It was just a wonderful celebration.
Did you talk with Larry Nager and some of the other King Records historians?
We did not get talk to Mr. Nager because Mr. Nager was in the middle of moving to Hawaii at the time that we were doing interviews. But we did get to talk to John Hartley Fox, who wrote, I consider it the seminal book, King of the Queen City. We spoke with Steve Tracy, who wrote the fantastic Blues in Cincinnati, and Darren Blaze, Christine Anderson from Xavier University. She's a history professor there.
Brian Powers?
Absolutely. Mr. Brian Powers, who is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to King, was fortunate to grant us a 2.5-hour interview, which was only beat by the great Randy McNutt. But I believe it was a 2-hour-and-45-minute interview. It was awesome. We have everything.
So tell us about some of the bands who played and where they played.
Okay, so we put together these live performances, and the first one that we did was at the Contemporary Arts Center. We did that with the Afro-Sheen Studio Band, which is this great ensemble with Jackson Steiger on piano, JT Thigpen on bass, Carlos Vargas on guitar. I played the drums, and then Kevon Byers, who actually is a gospel musician and bass player, played organ for us in that performance. Then for the next performances we did at the Lodge, the studio in Kentucky, we expanded the ensemble to include J.D. Allen, the famed saxophonist. Downbeat Magazine rated him the 4th best saxophonist in the world, which is just incredible that we were able to have him. Then also Mark Fields, who used to be in Ray Charles's orchestra. And on trumpet, we had the great Mike Wade, who is just a phenomenal jazz. I mean, these guys are all just phenomenal jazz musicians. Yeah. And also then added Mr. Brad Meinerding from Over the Rhine on guitar as well. So we just had this very stacked ensemble of literally some of the best musicians in the world that just happened to hang around Cincinnati.
The film also features members from the bands The National and Wussy.
Yeah, so we were able to sit down with Brian Devendorf, who has become a really good friend of mine over the last year, and who he's in the drummer from The National, and get some interesting stories about how the band started and how King influences them. The band Wussy, Chuck and Lisa from Wussy, who are the funniest human beings on earth, hands down. They are just a hoot, and just had a great interview with them.
Are you still editing?
I am not supposed to say yes, but yes, I, as much as JP would like for me to just stop, every evening I find a whole bunch of things that I want to change and tweak and add.
I understand that you also got some audio from the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm currently quickly trying to edit, Country Music Hall of Fame collected some oral histories from musicians in and around country music, and we were fortunate enough that they happened to interview some people from King, so Henry Glover, Merle Travis, Grandpa Jones, Colonel Jim Wilson, just some fantastic characters who tell some great stories. So because of that, we were able to get these accountings from the people themselves telling the stories. I also was able to track down a bunch of interviews from other journalists who had interviewed Henry Glover, for instance. I'm a drummer and I'm very into the drumming community. And a friend of mine who used to work for Modern Drummer magazine let me know that there had been some sort of interview with Henry Glover at some point in time in the 80s. And I was able to track down the person who did the interview, and he fortunately still had the tapes and digitized the tapes for me and sent it to me. It's him talking about the King days a little. He talks about Eagle Eye. It's kind of really funny. Eagle Eye is the name of the drummer that keeps coming up and up in the King story. And he talks about his days with Levon Helm and Roulette Records and that part of his career. But it's always really interesting in every Henry Glover interview how central King is to the story he tells. It's so central to his career and his coming up.
Well, that's going to be exciting because those audio files, you usually have to go down to Nashville to hear those. Those don't get out too often.
Yeah, it took a lot of work. It took pretty much me signing my soul to the Country Music Hall of Fame. You know, if if I misuse them, they basically own me for the rest of time. But no, they were very supportive of us telling this story. And I think that, I mean, they've put so much work and so much time and diligence into collecting these stories. I think when you have somebody of my age and my generation coming with interest to something for that, it gives a historian pause. And, you know, it's something that they want to help and they want to try to do the best. Because the People's Liberty and the Hale Foundation were kind enough to give me a grant to start the project. But majority of the project, or a lot of the project, has been done out of pocket. And it was very wonderful to have the Country Music Hall of Fame be so willing to share the recordings.
I know a lot of people are excited about this film, and I'm sure the place is going to be packed.
I hope so. We are hoping for a full house, but we're really more hoping to tell endearing and empowering story about what can be created with our city and in our city. You know, having a racially integrated company, especially in this era and our political climate, after going through a very divisive election after divisive election, having a story like this in Cincinnati that shows how Cincinnati is able to change the world by being able to bring all of its racial and ethnic groups together. I mean, in the 1950s, nobody was proud to be a hillbilly. Nobody was proud to be of these ethnic groups. They came together, took their ethnic identities, and formed it into something that was uniquely American. And it just goes to show that a Midwestern city like Cincinnati was capable then and is even more capable of doing something like that now. And we're hoping that that's the takeaway that comes away from this project.
Do you think it'll be released on DVD?
Well, we have a long way to go before we get there. The first thing that we're working to do is fundraise to take the project to film festivals. And from there, we hope to pick up distribution. That's kind of the story of how it goes. So we're either going to have a really great party at a film festival, or we'll have a really great party at the Esquire. The first and foremost thing, you know, with Afrosheen, by focusing all of our works to be created in Cincinnati, our focus is really just to do this in Cincinnati. By the nature of putting this on for our city, we kind of have the ability to put this on for anybody else who wants to see it. And we're going to try to do that. But I mean, for us, it's really the Esquire and the Kenwood. And that's our sense of accomplishment, showing our community its own story. And, you know, if other people are interested outside of our community, we're totally open and excited for that.
Well, good luck. And do keep in touch.
Absolutely. I really enjoy everything that you do, Ms. Hay, for our community and the King Record story. It's really fantastic. I love the series. I have obsessed about them for a lot of hours. So I really appreciate keeping the history out there.
Well,
so
we've got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our legacy.
Yes, indeed. So the first installment of the docu-series Queen City Kings will be playing at the Esquire Theater on Thursday, November 25th. That's the Thursday after Thanksgiving at 7 o'clock, and at the Kenwood Theater on Sunday, December 2nd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been in conversation with Yemi Oyedarin. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Lee.
You'll find a link for tickets to the movie at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.
Life is full of misery. Dreams are like a memory, bringing back your love.